Hello, sacred beings, and welcome to another episode of Sacred Sister Podcast. I'm your host, Britt Lynn, and oh my gosh, y'all. I must apologize at the very start of this. Hi to everyone who's brand new. If this is your very first episode with Sacred Sister Podcast, you're getting a vulnerable apology from me right at the beginning. So we missed our upload last week. For those of you who don't know, Hannah and I had the immense honor and privilege of presenting at the 20th Annual Conscious Life Expo, where we offered a whole bunch of stuff. We were also able to meet some super sweet sisters. Oh my gosh, it blessed us so much to meet some of you there. Thank you so much for coming out, for supporting us, and for having the desire to learn how to deepen sacred sisterhood. In addition to presenting our own talks and being on our own panels, Hannah and I were also asked to be on the Sacred Duality panel together. And we hope to be able to make that available to all of you as well. It was an absolutely killer 2-hour panel, and we can't wait to release it to all of you. And we're going to be relaying these details and where you can find them, where you can tune in as time goes on. But we want to let you know that the Cultivating Sacred Sisterhood workshop that Hannah and I presented at Conscious Life Expo was so beautiful. In this 90-minute workshop, we mapped out the 5 keys to deepening relationship and deepening sisterhood, deepening friendship. What we noticed is that one of the most beautiful parts about sacred sisterhood is that, yes, it is its own type of relationship, but all of these keys are also totally available to be added to literally any relationship. This can be from intimate partnership, to brotherhood, to parent-child relationship as well. We're really excited to offer this 90-minute workshop to all of you, and we're going to be having the details on where it is that you can find it and when it is available, when it does become available. Let's get into today's episode. So today we're sitting down with Crystal McIntyre, human design expert, artist, and mentor. Crystal McIntyre guides women into deep self-trust, and this is exactly the topic that we're opening up on today. But before giving you the details of what this deepened dialogue really encapsulates and holds within it, I want to let you know where I came to meet Crystal. So this last year and a half or so has been one of immense self-investment for myself. And really saying yes to myself when I feel that a mentor has been placed on my path has been a really beautiful process of commitment and surrender, effort and release. So really asking God, Goddess, creator of all that is, to place these beautiful monolith figures on my path. Some of you may have listened to Tori Washington's episode a couple episodes ago about revolutionizing your wealth identity and healing ancestral money wounds. That episode was such fire. And Tori is a great mentor in my life, a monolith figure. She's been guiding me for over a year now, and I invested in her Drop the Mic course on coming into really crystalline clarity within my own communication, really just stepping forward as a communicative leader in my own life, in my own business that's growing. So Drop the Mic was where I met Crystal. And immediately I was drawn to her adornments. She had on just the most sassy, cute outfit, and I immediately felt drawn to her. My Taurus sun really, really loves to witness another's adornment just as much, if not greater than, as much as I love to witness my own adornment. And that was what really, really called me toward her. It seems that our energies are very similar externally, or for some reason, Tori paired us together. in our first partner, like, activity inside of the Drop the Mic course. And that's where I really first got to connect with Crystal. It was apparent to me right from the start that she was someone that I definitely wanted to have on the podcast and just really invite her to open up on the breadth of knowledge that she holds within the human design system. I had a reading, a human design reading with Crystal a couple weeks ago that I'm still integrating. And something that I really appreciated about it is that it's like half human design reading, half like life coaching session. It was so lovely to really just relay what's on my heart and then have it reflected back to me via Crystal as far as the gates that I was basically speaking to and through and how I could move through this process in a very liberated and empowered way, how I could get out of my own way pretty much. So it was just a really, really beautiful experience, and you can find Crystal's links to her website. You can go to her website, crystalmcintyre.com, crystalmcintyre.com. You can also follow her simply at Crystal McIntyre on Instagram, spelled the same way. Yeah, if this beautiful being resonates with you, hit her up. I think Hannah just sat with a reading with her as well. Not only is she a human design expert and mentor, but she's also a beautiful artist as an illustrator. She creates annual calendars that you can then create a book out of it. I just looked on her website and it looks like the 2022 calendars are sold out as of right now, but I do recommend going onto Instagram and following her, checking out her art, and hopefully we'll cross fingers for a restock. Go into the description of this episode to find all things Crystal McIntyre, and now let's get into what our deepened dialogue consists of today. So we go into the human design types and also not getting stuck in your type, right? Sometimes we can like know what our system map looks like, whether it's in astrology or human design, or if we know ourselves really well within the chakra system, and we can be somewhat bound or limited by what we feel our own blockages are. So we talk about how not to get stuck in your type and how to let that move you forward. We talk about knowing the not self theme as well, and knowing the not self theme in the body, what it feels like. And we go through each of the not self themes for the various human design types. We talk about knowing your authority and how to let it guide your movement forward. And then we also talk about letting your human design chart speak to who you are right now. I love this episode. I love this system. It gives me great gratitude that we have Crystal, such a beautiful expert on human design, permission to be yourself. And before we hop into Hannah's astrology segment, I want to let you know I had a very exciting pre-launch for my first ever group course that I want to extend an invitation to for everyone and anyone listening to this right now. Elemental Self is a 6-week course program curated for thirsting thought leaders, conscious leaders of their own lives, or even people who are really just kind of bored in their lives and are looking to deepen self-awareness through the lens of elemental wisdom. Within the 6-week course, we host 2 calls per element, one for opening up on the sun energy, emulation of it, the information, what it can look like, the external expression of it, and the other call is for the feminine, feeling into actually experiencing these elements flowing through our veins. We look into the masculine and feminine aspects within each and every one of the 5 main elements in the natural world: spirit, earth, water, fire, and air. We start on March 1st, and you can find more information on Elemental Self, this 6-week group course offering, on my Instagram at Britlyn Rising. Click on my link in my bio and you'll see Elemental Self right there. Like I said, we start on March 1st, and I cannot wait to deepen this dive into self-embodiment within this course program. You'll definitely be hearing more about it as time gets closer. But as far as right now goes, that is what you get. Without much more, let's hop into Hannah's astrology segment, where we're going to take a look at some main aspects, main archetypes that Crystal McIntyre is emulating in today's Human Design episode, Permission to Be Yourself. Can't wait to dive into this episode with you. Relax. Let's have a good time. See you in the show, babe. Thanks for being here.
Hello, sacred beings. This is your host, Hannah Lina, and here we are in the inner blueprint section of Crystal. And if this is your first time listening, welcome and hello. So this is what we're doing every episode. We are looking into the inner blueprint, into the tropical astrology chart. This is where I'm certified of our guests, and that's how we can find out their main archetypes and how they express them in this lifetime. So I hope for you to take some of these notes with you and listen throughout the interview for those archetypes to show themselves. All right. So Crystal Sun is right on the cusp between Virgo and Libra. Her Sun is in 28 degree Virgo. All cusp people have the challenge to combine two signs with each other that have literally nothing in common. Virgo is a mutable earth sign, whereas Libra is a cardinal air sign. So cusp people, usually it takes them a little while until they find their groove and find out how to combine those two in the best way that they can. Virgo is the sign of service. Virgo loves to be the helper, the advice giver, the sage. It also has a really great eye for detail. So anything that is small or that needs to be researched or learned, that's great for Virgo. Libra is the sign of a lover and the beauty, the artist. Libra enjoys harmonious, beautiful environments and loves to create art and just share their love with others and be there for others and support them. So both of them together makes Crystal on one hand, a sage, a guide, a service provider through her human design, and on the other hand, an artist who is creating beautiful illustrations that are not just cute to look at, but also helpful. There's where that Virgo is coming in. They're also helpful to live a better life, to feel better. Her sun is in the fourth house. That is the house of Cancer. Her rising sign is right between Gemini and Cancer. So we have that Cancer archetype here, the homebody, the nurturer, the intuitive, and also the Gemini, which is versatile and flexible, the messenger. So she loves to give out like nurturing messages. It's really important for her to create space for others to be themselves, to give them the permission to fully express who they are and nurture their confidence, nurture their calling. She is a student of life, as here Gemini rising. She loves to learn, and especially anything that can be helpful for other people or that is something that helps her in her own life, that improves her routines or well-being or health. Her moon is in Pisces in the 10th house, and it's also on a cusp between Aries, the cusp of rebirth. So she has literally three cusps right here in her Holy Trinity, which is the sun, moon, and rising sign. And all of them create a grand square together with Neptune in Sagittarius in the sixth house. And for anybody who has a grand square in their chart, it means that at first it takes a little while to get that square going, to realize, what is it that I'm here to do? How can I really make good moves with this square. She has a mutable grand square, so that is being activated by an event from the outside that helps her get that grand square started. And when she does, she is an engine that has no way to stop her. Grand squares are so powerful to have in one's chart. So her moon in Pisces gives her this deep trust in oneness and the divine. She has this intuitive nature in her that helps her to feel guided on her path. Being in the 10th house, it's natural for her to be an authority and to really learn what her sacred authority is. How does that look like for her to stand up in who she is and what she's about, and how can she be of service to others in that way? What's also really cool in her chart is that Jupiter and Uranus are conjunct in her 6th house and opposite her Chiron in Gemini in the 12th house. And her midheaven is in Pisces, which is ruled by Jupiter, which means that her career, her calling, her public image in this lifetime is connected with giving hope, giving faith to others, and being of service to them in an out-of-the-box way, in a way that is different from society's normal way of helping people gain more confidence, aka human design, that is very Uranus in its nature. And that is opposite Chiron in the 12th house, which is her wound of not trusting in herself or not trusting her own voice or feeling like she has to imitate others in order to be worthy, and really finding her own voice throughout her lifetime, finding that own voice, finding that trust within herself through creating that sacred authority within her human design. That's the wound that she's healing in her own life, and therefore she becomes the wounded healer for others as well. And that is how she helps other people through human design and through her illustrations to have the permission to be 100% themselves. All right, so that is it from me about Crystal. And if this is something that you're interested in for yourself, you can get your own inner blueprint reading about yourself, about your business, or about your relationship on my website, hannahchristensen.com. And if you use the code SACREDSIS, you get a special discount. We are super excited to possibly see you this Friday, tomorrow, after this episode is launched. So tomorrow, Friday, February 4th at 6 p.m. at the Conscious Life Expo in our Cultivating Sacred Sisterhood workshop. And if you need more information on that, or if you need to get your tickets, you can go to our Instagram at Sacred Sister Podcast. And if you haven't followed us yet, now is the time to do so. And you can get updates on more upcoming events in case you can't make this one. I just want to say thank you for being here, and thank you for diving into this conversation with us and Crystal. Now let's take a deep breath in, relax, and enjoy.
Oh, sacred sister, a kindred flame, may we light one another. From the ashes rise, oh, we rise, oh, again.
So let's just start by closing down the eyes and really feeling into the body, starting to take some nice deep breaths down into the belly, up into the chest, and then exhaling and releasing all of that. Continuing with some deep breaths. And actually really feeling into the body, really taking the time to drop your awareness down into this vessel that you've been given to guide you through this life. The more you can practice dropping your awareness into this space, whether it's your womb space, your heart space, your solar plexus, whatever space feels the most alive in you, the more that you can bring awareness into dropping into this space, the more you can feel connected to the guidance that your soul is giving you. It is through the body, through feelings in the body, sensations in the body, excitement in the body, maybe a little nervousness and fear, that we are actually being spoken to and being guided by. And when we can take the time to drop out of the mind and into this space, we begin to develop a relationship with our higher self and the way that it is speaking to us. And as you first start out, these sensations will be quiet. But the more you can devote time to this relationship, the louder they get and the more confident you become in trusting them. Taking a last few couple breaths in silence. And when you're ready, we'll come back to the space.
Oh, that was so beautiful. Thank you so much, Crystal. Welcome to Sacred Sister Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh, it was so beautiful during that guided meditation experience. The words that kept coming to me are these words that I've been really contemplating the last month or so, which are piercing presence. Mm. And it's like this piece that when we come into this present state, and for a lot of people coming into the present state is really dropping into the body, really feeling into the sensation that's alive within you. Because when we can tap into what's alive within our body, we can also have access to, well, what's alive in my consciousness right now? What is it that I'm carrying? What is it that I'm moving through? What is it that feels challenging for me? And then I realized, oh my gosh, this is something, this ritual act of dropping into ground and presence is such a main vein. It's like the skeletal insides of Sacred Sister Podcast, because we've just always had that. Now that we meet with guests since season two, it's like, oh, we know, yeah, that you drop into presence, and that's where we gain access to the deeper realm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's also where you really connect with our channel, right? When we are really in the body, that's when we have that connection to the higher self, as you were saying, Crystal, and realizing I am a unique being in this expression. Yes, we are all one, we're all divine, but now coming back into this body, in this lifetime, this avatar, how am I expressing this energy of myself so uniquely in this lifetime? And that's what human design is helping us with, right?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Can you give us a bit of your story about, like, whether you want to take it in, like, who are you and how did you come to be in this realm, or just any pieces of your story that are alive on your heart that you want to share with us and our audience today?
Yes. Thank you. Human design came into my world, I think it must have been in early 2017. And at that point, I was working as a nutritionist and really diving into all things understanding myself, from my physical body to my mental body, emotional, spiritual. And I was working with a woman who did human design readings, and I was fascinated by it. And I got a reading from her, and it was mind-blowing. I felt like I truly understood myself. The thing I thought was missing was I didn't get anything tangible. I didn't understand how do I apply this. Because the beauty of human design is it brings you back to the present. It's not like what's happening in your future, what happened in your past. It's what's happening now, and how do I move forward in the most aligned way? So I had all this information, but I didn't really know how to apply it. And so it must have been, the start of 2020, it came back into my world, and I just started trying to learn everything I could about it. I wanted to know everything. I would spend hours researching on the internet, and there's so much free information out there. But the deeper you want to go, the more sparse the information gets. And so in the summer of 2020, I signed up for a program for a certification through Align by Design. And it was a year-long human design certification. And it went so deep. It was incredible. And the knowledge that I gained from it, and the ability to really apply it to myself first and foremost, and experiment with it and see, you know, what happens if I actually listen, if I don't make decisions in the moment and I move through these emotions and I allow myself to not shame myself. I'm an emotional authority. And so really not shaming my emotions, but also not making decisions inside of my emotions, giving myself that time. And I felt like for the first time I understood the things that had gone wrong, quote unquote, wrong in the past, and how I could learn from them and how I could move forward in a more aligned way. And now I don't stop talking about human design.
Beautiful. It's one of those blessings that came out of the lockdown of 2020, huh?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
One of those things where we're like, oh, I have time. So what am I doing? What is my soul calling me to dive into? And I love that you took that step, because it feels like that's exactly what you were meant to do.
Yes, definitely. It feels so aligned. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the other side of that is giving myself permission to not have this be my only focus. I'm also an illustrator, and allowing myself to move between the two worlds and make them my own. So, and understanding, okay, I'm here to run a business, not like anyone else. So what feels right for me to do? And full on, I mean, human design helps you understand how you can trust and surrender. It doesn't necessarily, you still have to do the work, but it helps you understand, okay, what if I let go of this a little? What if I really lean into following what lights me up? What if I trust that it's all working out, even when it feels like it's not?
And how interesting too, we're going into this age of Aquarius now, where we're meant to create our own way of how we are expressing ourselves, and coming from that age of Pisces where we were following the roles that were given to us, and we're just kind of like floating with that. Oh, that's the job description. I'm a human design expert. This is what I need to do. I'm an astrologer. This is what I need to do, you know, but rather than, let me merge all those things that I do into one. And then that's probably also the way to really make the most out of your inner blueprint, out of your human design.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Jesus. Yeah. I feel like this self-knowledge system of human design is like the epitome of an Age of Aquarius type of system, because it does blend so many pieces together. Could you imagine last night in preparation for this interview, I was really thinking about what's his name who channeled this system?
Ra Uru.
Yeah. Yes, yes. So I was like putting myself into that, into what it must have felt like to receive that system. Cause it's like he went into some trance state for how long? Like you can maybe us a short 8 days.
Yeah. Yeah. He said he was in a trance state for 8 days. And when he came out of it, he was surprised his dog was still alive. Cause like he hadn't paid any, like he was just channeling. And the fascinating thing is how expansive and deep the system is and how someone could just like this information just flowing through you for 8 days and you're just, you know, writing it all down and then compiling it into something that humans can understand.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Yeah. Or obviously channeled from some other civilization.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah, it still gets me. I feel like when I think of what is it like, it's biology, astrology, the chakra system, I Ching,
the tree of life. The I Ching plays such a key role. It's all the gates, the 64 gates, and these make up. These are really how you get super personalized, right? So, you know, you're a manifesting generator, you're a projector, you're a manifester. It's like being a Virgo or a Libra. But when you get into the gates, that's when it's like, that's when you really see the individualness of it and how they express and which ones express in a high frequency naturally and which ones express in a low frequency naturally, that those are your challenges that you're here to move through. And the beautiful thing about human design, it's really this merger of science and spirituality, because the I Ching actually, they found in the 70s, relates to the 64 codons of your DNA. And so it's science meets spirituality. It's this very logical system that your mind can understand that allows you to then tap into how your soul is actually guiding you, mm-hmm. which is what, I feel like it feeds kind of all the parts of me that it grounds into kind of the 3D world to help you access the 5D world or the higher consciousness levels.
Yeah. I was really curious to touch on this with you. I feel like when and generally the book that I go to is The Definitive Science of Human Design I'm pretty sure that's what it's called. That's what it's called, right? The Definitive Science of Human Design.
The Definitive Book of Human Design.
Book of Human Design. So I feel like when I look into these 64 gates and then the ones that are highlighted for me and the ways that they speak to and inform so many of like the internal processes that I maybe haven't even like outwardly spoken, but know of myself on such a deep level. For me, when I was reading through like and highlighting all of my gates and allowing myself to exhale each one that I would mark off, and I was like, oh, I just feel so deeply seen right now. This is the coolest thing. And this is what I wanted to get into because it feels like a very psychological approach, the little synopses of each of the gates. And I was thinking last night, like for the left-brained people that really, it's like we are able to tap into those psychological approaches and be like, it's very easy to apply when we read those. Whereas I feel like I have a pretty deep practice and process with astrology as well, but I feel like I see it as more of this archetypal map that then I get to self-inquire about how this reflects in my world. Like it doesn't necessarily give me how it reflects in my world. And I love the differences that I associate with these two different systems. And I was curious, because you do readings for people all the time, do you notice that more like left-brained people or people that really dig on the psychological approach do come to you as more of a clientele base? And they're like, oh yeah, human design feels good to me. Whereas maybe I've tried astrology or some other systems and it like hasn't really resonated.
Oh, I love this question. I think for me, the distinction that I make between human design and astrology. Astrology to me is like what's happening in the outer world that might be influencing me. And astrology is like, who am I inside of this experience? And so if I understand that Venus is in retrograde, and so my relationships might be more challenged and communication in that sense, then like, what can I ground into and what I know about myself inside of the human design system? So understanding my strategy and my authority so that I can best move inside of what's happening. And again, that's my own personal reflections on it. But yeah, to me, human design is more about how do I be in a way that feels the best for me? And I think like the authority to me is the most important thing you can dive into, because this is how your soul is guiding you. And so the more that you can understand the relationship you have with this guidance and this way of being led, the easier everything else starts to feel.
I love that. Can you tell us a little bit more about the different types of authority?
Yeah. So the authorities go in an order. So when you start understanding human design, you can look at someone's chart and you can see the order, and then you can know what their authority is without even reading the side. So the first one is the emotional authority. So anyone that has their emotional center defined is considered an emotional authority. Now, this is really an added layer. There's a very few people that this is their authority. They have only the connection to either their throat center or their root center. But other than that, this is like an added layer. So it's not actually how your soul is guiding you. It's the thing that the emotional authority gives you is, don't make big decisions in the moment. You want to sleep on it. You want to understand that you're experiencing these emotional waves and that these emotions will influence how you feel about the decision. So the more time you can give yourself to move through any emotions, the more grounded you'll feel when you go to make the decision. Mm-hmm. After that, we have the sacral. So this is any generator or manifesting generator, even if you're, I forgot to ask Hannah, what is your human design?
I am a sacral authority and manifesting generator. And Britt, you're the same, right?
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, both manifesting generators.
Yeah, me too.
Yay!
So any generator or manifesting generator will be a sacral authority, even if they have their emotional center defined. Mm-hmm. So the emotional center is this added layer. So the sacral authority is following what lights you up. It's those yeses and those noes, being pulled towards things, being pushed away from things, and really understanding that relationship and saying yes to the things that you're being pulled towards and saying no to the things that you're not. And a no is just a no for now. And in a week, it might be a yes. Then we have the splenic authorities, and this is projectors or manifestors can have this authority. And this is your intuition. It's this intuitive, like in the moment. I always say, if you're driving your car and something's like, turn right here. And you're like, why would I turn right there? That doesn't make any sense. Like, it's going to take me twice as long to get home. And then you drive for a minute and suddenly you're stuck in traffic for an hour. And you're like, if I would have turned right there, I would be home by now. So it's these intuitive hits that tell you what to do. And they're often little whispers. Now, again, if you have an emotional authority, but you have your spleen defined, you're still going to get these intuitive hits. That's still how your soul is guiding you. But again, you're going to want to not make big intuitive decisions in the moment. You're going to want to sleep on it. Then we have ego or heart, and this is for manifestors. And this is really these heart desires. So it can feel kind of selfish because it's I want, I need, but when they're following these desires, they're, what benefits them benefits everyone. So if a manifestor's like, I need to go for a walk, that's going to benefit everyone, because they're holding on to some anger or some frustration. And so when they go for the walk, they come back and they're more grounded. And so it's understanding that it's for them, it's really about diving into the relationship they have with feeling quote unquote selfish. Then we have our, and for them, it's, they don't really make decisions in the moment. You want to kind of move through like, what do I want? What do I desire? What do I need? And then we have our self-projective projectors, and they have their G-center defined, often just G-center throat, G-center throat head. And they are, they have this inner knowing. I love speaking to self-projective projectors because they just know. They're like, I know this is right for me. I don't know how I know. I can't explain it to anyone. It doesn't make any sense, but I know. And for them too, it takes some time to come to that place of clarity and to trust that knowing, because it doesn't make sense and they can't explain it to anyone else. And then we have our mental projectors, and they have either nothing but throat, ajna, head. Only those three centers can be defined. At least two of them will be defined. Nothing below that. And they're really here to speak, to come to a place of clarity. And this speaking really needs to be done with someone who can hold space for that without giving their opinion, because it's the more that they can speak and share, they'll come to their own clarity. They'll be like, okay, yeah, this makes sense. So talking to a mental projector, it would be more like, hey, I noticed your energy changed when you started talking about this one thing. Like, let's explore that a little bit more. And then we have our rare little reflectors. They have no centers defined, and they're really here to be guided by the moon. They're really here to not make decisions in the moment. And the more time they can give themselves, the more they can understand the lunar cycle, the easier, the more clarity they'll have when they do make decisions. They're here to give themselves time, but I do know reflectors that have done a lot of work to understand themselves that feel confident making decisions in the moment. So nothing is set in stone. And the thing I love about human design is this is a relationship with you and your higher self. And so you have to know, I can, all this information I gave you, it's still a relationship you have to develop. So as a manifesting generator, you might notice it's not a feeling, it's a sound. Or you might notice it's, you know, oh, my fingers tingle when it's a yes. So there's no right or wrong way. It's just, it's having this framework and then understand, and then diving into how do I build a relationship with this energy?
So beautiful. Yes. And isn't that true to all self-knowledge systems? It's ultimately, you know, if that's tropical astrology, if that's even the chakra system, you know, when you look into it, whatever you read about it or what someone tells you about it. And then it's always this piece of like, how does that resonate within myself? And how does that look like for me personally? Because we all still have that free will where we can choose our own way of how we express that. Yes. And I love too how you were saying how you can support others with specific authorities and be like, oh, I noticed that your energy changed just when you're saying these things. You know, I feel that's the beauty about these systems as well, because we get to understand each other on a deeper level and respect each other for our gifts and talents, and also don't shame each other for the things that we are not good at, but, you know, encourage each other for the things that we are good at. It's like this, it gives this deeper compassion when you know you're the charts of the people that are around you.
Yes.
I feel like especially celebrating the differences that we have between other people. It's helped me understand my husband as a projector who has such different energy externally than me as a manifesting generator. It's helped me honor him and help him see himself more clearly too when he feels like he should be more of that manifesting gen, because a lot of his friends are manifesting generators, and then they look to him to kind of emulate, like, come on, we need more from you. And it's like then so fun. Even just yesterday I was holding him and being like, but you're a projector, babe, this like isn't you can't be expected to show up in the way that I show up so naturally. It's like, this is the way that I just move so naturally. And this type of energy is like so exhausting for him to try to emulate himself.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's important to, just to help people remember that this system is a container for your energy to flow inside of. So, you know, I often will hear projectors especially kind of get caught in being a projector, and they're like, oh no, I don't have much energy. Oh no, I have to wait for the invitation. Oh no. You know, it's like the truth is, like, you can't, I know projectors that work as much as manifesting generators, and they're lit up by it. And so it's understanding that, like, there's no right or wrong. It's not like, oh no, I worked 8 hours today, I'm not being a good projector. It's like, wow, look at how lit up I am by my business, that 8 hours just flew by. And it's more, you know, maybe they worked 8 hours, but they took breaks in between. And it's, and again, for manifesting generators and generators, we're not here to just like work for 16 hours at something that we don't love. Mm-hmm. So it's understanding your own energy inside of it and not allowing it to be so, it's not meant to be constrictive or restrictive. It's meant to open you up to the natural energy that flows through you. And so I really try and help people understand that, like, no, this isn't a curse. This is, you know, understand your relationship with rest. See if you pushed yourself too hard today. Like, notice where you were being like, no, I'll just keep going. I just need to get this done. But if at the end of the day, you're like, wow, I got so much done, I feel amazing, I still have energy, then you did what you were meant to do.
Mm-hmm. And would you say that kind of correlates to the sign, like the sign that shows you that you're living your design, or like the not self theme that kind of shows you when you're not living your design?
Yeah. The not self theme is so important. It helps you see, and it helps you see when you're out of alignment, but you also have to understand these words are, what does this word mean to you? Because if you're a manifesting generator and you're like, I don't feel frustrated, but I feel angry. Well, that's another way of expressing frustration or sadness. So it's not just like, well, I'm not frustrated, so I must not be out of alignment. It's like, I don't feel right. And if I'm an emotional authority, I dive into that a little bit more of like, okay, like, I'm having a low day today. What can I give myself to move this energy? So, and if you're a projector, like, bitterness, what is bitterness to you? Is it like not talking and isolating yourself? Is it crying? Is it anger? And so the more you can understand what does my not self theme actually feel like in my body, and what does my so satisfaction for, you know, what does that mean? If I'm so satisfied, it can mean that I feel really successful and abundant. So taking these words and really dissecting them to find out how they feel for you. So it's not just a word. It's actually like, oh, okay, I'm noticing this in my body. Every time I feel this energy, this kind of like rock that feels like it's in my chest, I know I didn't make a decision in alignment, or I know I'm being asked to sit back for a minute, or I know that some sort of fear is trying to creep in. Is this preventing me from moving forward? Is this my mind getting in the way, being like, oh no, or is it that I'm out of alignment? So the more that we can understand even just these words, the deeper we can develop this relationship.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. I love that you just touched on this so much. It's coming back into that piece of embodiment of really inviting it into our space, into our realm. That's like, not just looking at it as another label to ascribe to. Hannah and I speak on this within the astrology system so much, of really coming into, in the yogic philosophy, we come into svadhyaya, which is the self-study aspect, which is really like drawing it all in, whether it's doing, you know, a yoga posture and noticing that you're inquiring as far as like, how deep can I take this pose today? How does it feel in my body today? And not idealizing any specific level or thing that it's supposed to be like, really allowing yourself to show up in your fullest as far as the energy that you have available today to understand it, to express it, whatever. And like letting that be the space of nourishment and fulfillment, that we're releasing the idealizations of everything and anything, because these things keep us at a level of disempowerment that's not serving for us and not serving for anyone that we then interact with.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah. And I feel like when we are, I was like, it was like, it came to me, the thought. It was like right there, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna grasp this, I want to mention this, and then it was flying away like a bird. I'm like, hey, where did you go? Okay, I guess that was it. Was that it? Oh, I want to mention this.
It happens to me all the time.
Come back. I know the bird will come back when it's time for it.
Yeah.
But I love that you just touched on this, how bringing it back into the moment, into the self right now. And can you share a little bit about your experiences when you have readings with other, with your clients? What is like a theme that keeps rising up? Is there something that is currently kind of floating around in the collective, especially, you know, since 2020? Is there something that a lot of people are becoming aware of, or are you starting to notice certain patterns in your readings?
What a great question. When it comes to the collective, the thing I see that has become so apparent since 2020 is the lack of self-trust. Mm-hmm. And so when people come to me for readings, I really want to emphasize the authority, because if you don't trust yourself, you seek that guidance outside of yourself. And then we are guided by whatever authority feels the most authoritative, or, you know, we're not coming back to, does this actually resonate with me? Do I actually believe this? Do I want to move forward in this way? Where am I being guided? And I see this a lot in readings where people have something that they're being guided towards, but they're resisting it so much because it's scary, because the mind is in the backseat. The mind only can see the past. It can only guide you from what you've already experienced. The soul has the GPS. So the soul is the one who's actually like, but this is where you're meant to go. So if the mind is in the backseat, it's not paying attention, it doesn't have a map, and it's backseat driving, like, turn left here. And you're like, what? And then the soul's like, no, we're going straight still. We're going straight. And the mind's like, no, turn left here. We've turned left here before. We should turn left here again. Oh yes. No, last time we went straight, it didn't work out. So don't go straight. That's a terrible idea. And you get these conflicting things, and we're conditioned to trust the mind, to be like, oh, the mind is so powerful. It's such this amazing thing. And it is, when we understand how to be in relationship with it, when we understand that it can be tricked, it can be fooled. It has a lot of conditioning it holds there. It has the ego that tries to protect you, but isn't necessarily protecting you. And so when people come to me for readings and I find out that they have this thing that they really want to do, but they're not doing it because they're afraid, we often dive into the fears that are coming up, and then let's develop that relationship. Let's start to understand that relationship and start using it in little ways, like deciding what you want to eat for dinner, deciding if you're going to turn right or left when you go on a walk, and just starting to see, okay, nothing bad happened when I followed this little voice. So what if I start doing it in bigger ways? And
And yeah. It seems like that your readings are going deeper than like a standard mm-hmm. human design reading. It seems like you're implementing coaching, you're implementing like your unique soul medicine into it yeah. to help people understand, okay, how this is a cool information piece, but okay, how do I apply it in my life? And it makes sense that you do that because that's what happened when you had your first reading and you're like, okay, cool, I got all this information. What do I do with it now?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's important to me that people leave feeling empowered and like they have at least some sort of tool. And whether that tool resonates deep with them enough to actually start applying it is that's out of my control, but I want to give them the tool so that they're not just like, cool, my mind was stimulated. I got some information. I learned some truths about myself. Cool.
Yeah.
I want it to be like, okay, how do I can apply this. I can start tapping into this yes, no guidance that my sacral has. I can start taking, you know, not making big decisions in an emotion and not shaming my emotions. And yeah, the more that we can just take those little steps, our intuition, our soul gets louder and louder until then you're just like, oh yeah, this, I just trust myself to do this now.
I love it so much. And can you share with us for those of our listeners that are like, oh, I need to have a reading with her. By the way, I want to get a reading with you too. I had one human design reading done before and I was like, I want to do another one. It sounds so fun. It sounds like you're really bringing it down to earth. I really love that earthy energy. I'm excited to look into your chart too.
Yes.
The astrology chart. But I'm like, you're bringing that all kind of the Aquarius abstract concept and you're bringing it down into the body. And that's mm-hmm. so potent and so powerful. So for anybody like me that wants to get a human design reading from you or wants to learn more from you and connect more with you, how do we do that?
Yeah. So Instagram is a great place. I hang out there a lot. So it is at Crystal McIntyre. And I do human design readings. I also, oh no, is my internet okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We hear you.
Oh, hear you. Am I back? Okay. Okay, perfect. So yeah, you can find me on Instagram at Crystal McIntyre. Like I said, I do human design readings. I also have one-on-one mentorship that's opening up in February to dive deeper into understanding this, your authority. So this system of self-trust and really helping you to feel confident being in the world, standing in this knowledge that is coming through you. And then I also do illustrations. So I do commissions. I'm working on picture books. I have art. So lots of ways you can connect with me. Instagram and my website, which is also just crystalmcintyre.com, are the best two places.
Beautiful. We're going to be linking all of this information that you just shared in the description of this episode as well, especially for our guests that are feeling a divine resonance and know that they are feeling called to sit with you on a deeper level. That's exactly who we're doing it for. Mm-hmm. And I've been curious. I am so glad that you were speaking on your illustrative passion as well, your illustrative gifts. And I was curious, are those all pieces that you've done behind yourself?
Yes. This is the artwork from my 2022 calendar. And I'm going to be starting to sell them off soon. They're just inspirational illustrations, have little quotes. And yeah, I really try and keep people uplifted with my art.
Mm-hmm. So cute. I love this.
Was I hearing that you were describing this to me in Drop the Mic, that the calendars serve a dual purpose, like a multi-purpose? Can you share a bit about that with our audience as well?
Yeah. So when the year is over, you can cut off I can actually grab my one here.
And for anybody who is listening to that in the podcast, we're actually going to have this on YouTube as well. So you can watch the video and actually see you what Crystal is talking about.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, I forgot. Yeah. So when the year is over, you can cut off the actual calendar bit and you fold the cover around the pages, and then you essentially just have a book. Kids really seem to love them. And yeah, my illustrations just have eyes on everything so that everything feels like it's alive, which I feel like it is. And then I have two picture books that I'm currently illustrating. So yeah, I'm excited for those to come out into the world as well.
Oh, that is so beautiful. We are so grateful that you've stepped into this sacred call. You're just serving people in such a beautiful way. And I have to say, from our human design reading here on air too, it does integrate some really beautiful coaching aspects. And as I was saying before the interview started, I'm still integrating from that half coaching session, half human design reading. It's just so deep, this work, and it really allows us a platform to get so raw and real with ourselves about opening up on our deepest fears and greatest discomforts, and just really giving us the self-compassion, but also giving us the encouragement that, like, oh yeah, it's feeling very challenging because it feels unsafe and your spirit is here to learn in those ways. So those things that you're the most afraid of sometimes are like the greatest, deepest treasure troves, as we all know.
Yes, definitely.
And now so beautiful. To the end of our interview, we have our sacred questions that we ask each of our guests. And you can just comment to those in a shorter format, whatever comes through to you. You ready?
Sure. Yes.
Beautiful. So what does sacred mean to you?
Sacred to me is like the deepest relationship and understanding you could have with something.
Beautiful. And who is a sacred sister to you? And what does it mean to have a sacred sister?
One of my dear, dear, dear friends, Chelsea, is definitely a sacred sister. And to me, a sacred sister is someone who holds you through everything, but also someone who triggers you in ways that allow you to grow and deepen in your own understanding of yourself, in what it means to be in relationship with another woman and in life. So, yeah.
So potent. And I love that you just mentioned that trigger as well, because we're actually going to share that in our Cultivating Sacred Sisterhood workshop at the Conscious Life Expo, which is going to happen actually tomorrow after this episode is live. So the next day after this comes out, it's going to happen. So if you're around LA, just come and cultivate some sacred sisterhood with us. So thank you so much for that, because that's so important, right? That the blessings that we're receiving and the depth that sacred sisters are seeing us, but also the triggers.
Mm-hmm.
Yay. Yeah. And the last question is, what is something that, now, how do you turn something mundane or normal into something magical or sacred?
I love to dress up. So if I have to do something mundane, I think dressing up, adding sparkles, adding music is the best way to transform something into something at least more fun, if not sacred.
That's so beautiful. And I have to say, going into the drop the mic experience, my eyes were immediately drawn to you because of the way that you adorned yourself. It's so like stylistic fashion in a lot of ways is such a self-expressive piece in my own life too. So when I feel like I see it in someone else, I'm like, oh, I see you, queen.
Yeah. I love dressing up.
Yeah. I love that so much. Thank you so much for sharing your time with us, sharing your energy with us. We're just so grateful to have had this beautiful, deep, potent conversation with you. And to everyone who's here sitting with us at the end of the episode, we want to extend such a piece of gratitude to you for caring about the uplevelment and the awakening, the deepening, the expansion of your own consciousness. You are the thought leaders, the change makers, the peacekeepers that we have this podcast on the air for. So thank you so much for being here with us, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful rest of your day.